Yeah, we're live. What's this book you're talking about?
So
that you don't mind talking about?
Not at all, because you know, it's not an intellectual property.
But somebody who listens to what you're about to say may actually be able to contribute to your book.
Exactly, and that's it. It's not like someone's going to steal the idea and write the book in the back of it, because that takes a lot of effort. I'm interested in the book will be called Mimicry. It's going to be a book based on a compulsion to repeat and to copy, and why that can be helpful and sometimes unhelpful. And I'm looking at this idea of that repetition and copying and mimicry are useful tools, but we don't know when to stop using them. So in other words, we replicate relationships in terms of relationship mistakes. We replicate, or we deliberately overcompensate how we raise children based on our own, our first child versus how we were raised. And then I'm going to go into it, but then probably more interestingly, because I still think a lot of, for example, mental health problems are an inability to respond in another way to a new situation.
Hang on, let me slow you down. An inability to respond in a novel way to a new situation.
Yeah.
So as opposed to a...
Sometimes people keep bringing their old response to actually a new set of circumstances.
You always do what you've always done, always get the same result.
Yeah. And not even just that, but like people find it very hard to, again, they fixate on this is what I'm here to do. And but then you meet someone else who's got a different sense of empathy and requires different things about interaction. You don't know how to do that. It's because you copy what you've done before. Now, what I'm going to try and scale this up, I'm going to start off with the individual, go to the family. Then I'm going to go on to the company. And the company will include things like bureaucracy, like the army. Like the army always prepares for the last war they fight, so we always prepare for the last one rather than the next one. And also then,
do you know the 33 strategies of war, that book?
No.
Okay, put that in the back of your head somewhere, right? Because this you might that
yeah,
might be
yeah.
a very full of stuff about the, you know, about Napoleon and about other people.
Napoleon fought 50 major battles, I think, just before either Jena or before Waterloo, and he said, I learned nothing new under each of the battles that I fought, because he just brought a new way of creating war that actually worked really well at the time. It was basically just throw shed loads of troops in triangular points at straight lines and break through them and then outflank them around, and people kept not responding to them. So we didn't need to innovate. And then he eventually did, well, he ran out of troops. But I'm going to bring it on then to the nation state as well as the company, which is why how nation states find it very hard to actually give themselves a new covenant. This idea of new republic, we're obsessed with dates, the Titanic 100 years. I like the idea from Hobsbawm, the short century, the long century. So the 20th century actually began in 1914 and ended in 1989. That wasn't 20th century. It's only 75 years long.
I've never heard that.
It's an amazing concept. We fetishize fives and zeros.
Where do I find that idea from Hobsbawm?
It's just called...
is it in an article or is it in a book?
No, it's a full book. I think it's called The Short 20th Century. Or the Age of Violence might be called. And he moves outside standard chronologies and trying to understand history. And I think nation states, again, we kind of get prepared for what are we going to do for 5 years' time or 10 years' time. We don't do enough things that have organic potential within them where we're like, this is live, this is now, what are we going to do now? Let's wait for the next general election. Not good enough anymore. Just not good enough. So we keep repeating, we keep copying. And it's helpful. If we didn't do it, we'd always have to, it'd be very cognitively expensive for us to do, keep producing novel stuff.
We'd be emotional wrecks?
Yeah, you can't respond in a fresh way to everything you're confronted with, because you run out of time. So where do you buy your jacket? Where would you normally buy a jacket if it's for work purposes? If you start factoring into your choice set every possible shop and call, you're never going to have a job. You need to be able to say, I go to two places for black jackets, and I'm going to stick with that for a while.
But there's one thing that I do in my life which is entirely the opposite of that, in which I always do something I've never done before. Every time I cook a dinner party, every single time, I have never, ever in my entire life cooked the same dinner party twice.
Yeah.
My wife is horrified at the idea.
You have a need to do it.
I have a need.
Yeah.
I have a need.
It's fascinating how we kind of, by repetition, you build that neural pathway that kind of ingrains that behavior, which makes
it becomes more self-fulfilling than again. And I think the basics of therapy are around getting people to spot repetition of the patterns of what they do and get them to stop doing them. But I'm really interested in how do you take that as systemically? You know, why do we have the same organogram? Why does HR always end up doing this or not doing this?
That's interesting how therapy can understand those patterns, change the chemical structure
in your head
as well.
Yeah.
So you're talking through the process, you actually...
Yeah, there's experiential remoulding of pathways. That's hypothesized. We don't have a lot of good quality proof in it yet at the moment, but it is hypothesized. It seems to make sense. We do know it definitely is the case with brain rehabilitation, traumatic brain injury rehabilitation. You build new structures, you build new connections.
Have you seen Charlie Rose's series on the brain?
I've watched bits of it, and I've got it on my YouTube.
Charlie Rose,
it's amazing.
Again.
Yeah, it's an amazing resource.
Brilliant.
He interviews about 8 or brain scientists, probably a couple of Nobel winners as well. And it's gobsmacking.
I have never experienced Charlie Rose.
He's great.
This man
There's a couple of good pockets. I recommend Hard Talk with Stephen Sacker. I think that's a great show, a great resource. Stephen Sacker, SACKUR. That's really good. Hard Talk.
Where's that on?
It's on BBC News and BBC World. It's a late night show, but it's brilliant. He basically interviews people who've got things to say. And they have a cultural side to it. There's an arts side, there's a political, there's an economic.
It sounds like a TED interview or something.
It's a bit like that. And it's just two people talking, very, very low level of interaction in terms of, like, there's no music, there's no audience. But it's really good. Like, last night when I stayed up late to watch, I just came across, was the MD of John Lewis, a guy called Andy Street, talking about how John Lewis is covenant with its workforce means they behave differently in retail. And I was just like, I said, every business student and actually anyone working in retail either needs to know this stuff. And if you spend ages reading about it, I just watched this interview for 25 minutes or 30 minutes and you'll get a brain injection.
It's kind of like understanding that purpose internally so you can manifest it
externally. It's the cooperative movement writ large. It's really, really fascinating. It's another one. I put up a tweet about it calling it a humane old and late capitalism, because they had that humane model in older forms of capitalism and they're still doing it now. And even equity stakes is about humane capitalism.
It's amazing how antiquated like business thinking is.
Yes.
Even political thinking. It's kind of like based on this previous century people in power are holding on to it because it's...
And so what they know when they can't envisage anything new and they don't know, they get worried about, like, our way of investigating corruption comes from legislation in the 1920s, if not even earlier. Mainly the tribunals are like 80 years old in law. It's just not good enough. And I love to, I don't know how true it is, but I think some of the cleverest people I've ever met are barristers, but they really do defend the status quo. By nature, they're conservative, and I'd love to see barristers actually be able to come out with. Maybe they do it, but I certainly don't get to hear about it. I want them to come out and proselytize for a new way of delivering justice, not necessarily based on drug use or whatever, but a new justice in its broader sense. I'd love to hear them talk about it. I'd love to earwig with them and go for pints with them. I just don't hear them talking about these things. I think there's an entire intellectual past there, and the energy just gets locked in a silo. It's just
closed.
What you have, you hold. And we're just playing, it's like the Eton wall game. We all can see the ball.
There's some amazing minds in that profession.
Yeah.
They've got massive ability to cover vast tracts of knowledge and information and dissect it, trisect it.
At the level of ideas, I think we're all great, right? Here we are having this incredibly, linked up, well, that's cliched, but basically interesting conversation, right? But where I think is the really difficult thing is the next step, which is actually forming collaborations for action.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
I agree.
Now, that's the thing that I find people are often inexperienced at the next step.
I don't think that's the challenging part. I think you've just got to decide to do it and then execute.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think maybe the challenging part is
the collaboration behavior, right? It is literally, what will we do after we get up from this table in a short while, right?
I didn't really know. I've read your Think Tank Times. I've seen some of your work on Paul as well. I've come across it on the web. But I didn't really know. I like this idea, there's two really brave people I've met who seem open for ideas. Yeah. And actually that opens a potentiality that I didn't think was going to happen at the table. So in other words, I don't know how we're going to interact in the future, but I reckon we will. Whereas I could have left Kenny on. That was not bad, but he was up talking to the client about, yeah, your man's grand, but like, you know, no reason for me to think about you again.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm trying to suggest one thing is talk to John Dineen. If you're interested in this idea.
Who to talk to? Tell me now, come on. Will I turn off the audio while you give me the names, right?
Okay, that's probably a good idea.
To be fair, because that wouldn't be, you know, unless there's somebody you want to mention who you know for certain wouldn't mind them, I might even be flattered to know that they were considered a good person to keep in touch with.
There's nothing wrong with saying, I'm not going to recommend good people so you can leave the recording on. I think people who impress me, who are not frightened by the idea of a change and are willing to show their energy behind that, that's who I define these people as. That's all it is. It's an outlook. I only met the guy two or three times. I'm hugely impressed with him. His name is John Egan.
Where's he based?
He's based in Archipelago. And he's quite young. He's 27. He's a startup guy, but he's interested in the ecosystem for good ideas and entrepreneurs. And he runs Archie Talks, where people come and talk about businesses they've set up through the sweat of their brow with one person or one other person working with them. And the trials and tribulations and now heard
of. Is that in Dublin?
Archie Talks, yeah, at the moment. But there's no reason why you can't take it around as well. Really good guy. He seems to be, what's the term, like a maven? He's a connector. The guy seems to know a lot of people.
Maven.
I've heard some people describe themselves as maven.
No. There's a special resonance for that word. Mavens and moguls. Moguls and maverns. M-A-V-E-R-N-S, isn't it?
No, that's M-A-V-E-N. M-A-V-E-N.
Mavens. Okay. Never mind. Yeah?
So I struck John... Egan has this.
Yep.
He's just good. He's fresh. He just says things like, I don't know. You can't predict what he's going to say next. I love that. You meet him, he's like, you say, okay, I'll give him half an hour. And like, an hour and a half later, you're still talking. And he's got ideas, and he's about execution. So this idea, how do we get an ecosystem of entrepreneurs? What would that look like? Well, some of them need space. Some of them need broadband. Some of them need no rate. Some of them need no electricity. Right, let's make
and they all need drainage.
They all need drainage. Drainage is crucial. If you learn the simple things, I think he's really good. Academically, there's a guy who's a good friend of mine and a colleague, so I can only speak highly of. His name is Liam Delaney. He's professor of economics in Stirling University in Scotland, and he's visiting professor at UCD Geary Institute. Liam is 31, and he is an amazingly good thinker. But he just refuses to accept that universities need to run the way they have done when it comes to getting ideas made and put out there. He trains people differently, he thinks differently, he works across boundaries, he only respects ability, he's no room for deference and anything else other than that. He's hugely energetic, he's tireless, and he's a Catherine wheel of ideas. And he's
a what wheel? A
Catherine wheel.
Catherine wheel?
Oh yeah.
I'm a bit deaf.
Okay, that's fine.
Go on. I have a long time for him. And a guy who I've huge respect for, I think, is doing a lot of good work in public health. Is Ivan Perry in UCC. Ivan is understated. Has a mind like a trap. I think if one fact gets into it, another gets out.
A mind like a trap.
It's barn, it closes.
Christ.
He's incredible. He's like what you would have needed before the web came along. He just knows stuff and he's linked it all in his head. And you need to talk to that person. Oh yeah, you should read this paper. He's professor of public health in UCC, and he's very interested in public health advocacy and this idea of getting. No point in just describing a problem. What are we going to do about the public health problem? How are we going to change it? How do we work with existing structures, some of whom are quite inelastic, some of which are quite inelastic, and bring about change?
If he's working with the HSE,
he would be.
That is, you know, he is some guy. He can work with them.
He's patient, and also like.
Yeah. South African is laughing.
Yeah, yeah.
He imagines himself working with the HSE. Could you do it?
I don't know. I don't think so, to be honest.
Okay. Don't expect a phone call from the HSE to be tomorrow, right? Go on.
Ivan's great, and I love as well. He'd give half an hour of his time to a very junior scholar, and he'd give a half an hour of his time to someone who's tenured in Harvard. It's about what's the conversation about when you work from that basis. There's just three people who I think are working from, they're just three to start.
Yeah, terrific.
And
that's just fabulous.
You're linking them to public policy, academia, industry, human capital, well-being. I think those three people together, Liam has met Ivan, John hasn't. wouldn't know either of these people, I reckon.
And if we organise an event to get all of these people to come and speak, I mean, do you think that'd be...
They might.
Would they hang out over dinner together?
Yeah, I think
which
they
would they prefer to do? Sorry, cutting across.
I think actually, what Liam's very good at saying again. Liam's got. I love that phrase now. I got from the Behance Network. You know, action method. Mm. A bias towards action.
The what method?
The Behance.
Behance.
I never heard of that word. The Behance method.
It's kind of it's the 99% network and stuff. It's an action method is a way of organising your work to get things done. It's online. I love it now. I would have been lost. I'd be lost without it now. But what I love about Liam, he doesn't actually have that method, but he lives it. It's just like he'd be like, well, it's just a talking shop, or what do you need me to do, or what deliverable are we going to have? He wouldn't necessarily say that, but that's, he needs to know. Well, you know, what's the output? What are we aiming for? What are we working towards? And he's got a clear sense of it. I think so. That's a good question. Before you ever get busy people in a room, have managed their expectations so they know what's required. Because you usually get 20 good minutes with these people, and then they might go, like, mentally disengaged.
They can, yeah. They can
and they're working
go wandering even though they're sitting at the table with you.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It's presenteeism. I remember back in the 1980s, I did an awful lot of management development training in London Transport in London, right? I was responsible for management development in there. And we were doing work on basically on the difference between absenteeism and presenteeism.
Yeah.
You know, and it's...
there's actually another guy then, you remember, he was your top tip. His name is Anton O'Loughlin. Anton O'Loughlin, Anton O'Loughlin. He's based in Dublin. Lachtnain. I'd say Anton was one of the first Irish digital entrepreneurs. He's a couple of years older than me. He owns the Swords Bus Company, which he ran the connection between Swords using the Dublin Port Tunnel to make
Swords. You're joking. The Swords Bus Company.
Yeah, he set it up to connect Swords rather than waiting on buses.
You know, I worked 18 years in public transport on the bus side.
Yeah. Well, he liked to
talk. I'm a busman.
He was also, I think he was a digital advisor for some of Dennis O'Brien's acquisitions. I don't think he has a television. He used to have. And he's getting involved a lot in venture capital.
Is he in UCD?
No, he's not an academic. He's an entrepreneur.
Right.
He's a very, very, very clever, connected guy. He's actually got a good understanding of official Ireland and also slightly subversive Ireland.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think he has. He's been able to work with both. So he could work with a kind of a program manager, I'd say, in a government department. We could also know when there's no point in working with a program manager in a government department.
Those are skills that you need as an entrepreneur.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, I know two entrepreneurs very well, both of my clients, and two of them are, and they have both tell me that they have found a way of working incredibly well with Enterprise Ireland.
Yeah, I'm sure.
They have jumped through all of the hoops that other and people rail against.
Yeah.
One is in Hand Guides.
Yeah.
Right, and they're an amazing company. Audio. We were in the Book of Kells, and they've done audio guide to the Book of Kells. And somewhere in my pocket is one of their products. Here we are.
Oh yeah.
Right, have a look at that. But the next thing, the other one is Akari Software, who have also worked with Enterprise Ireland successfully, right? And it is that thing about being able to work with the official.
Yeah, I don't think a lot of these people do. You know, who are in official Ireland, go to work and they're happy if things go well. They're not. Their job is not to conspire against you. Some of them are, but I think they're few and far between. But I think it's about finding a way of. I get on pretty well with people in the health research board. Well, maybe one person I think in particular, where I get a sense of she'd open up and give me advice on something that isn't really maybe part of her job description. She's just open-minded and chat away. She's a PhD background as well, which I think predisposes you to be open-minded and make a, you know, give something away. Because God knows you work for free anyway. So you get used to the gift economy.
I have to stop you and thank you, because you know I don't want to keep on recording the conversations, but I just want to say, Ken, what a stunning generosity you have given us. You know, we travelled all the way here to hear your voice.
Okay. Thanks. Great to meet you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, great.
Thank you.